This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Dave Wyman on his way to Pittsburgh for the Seahawks preseason matchup with the Steelers. We've got Ryan Roland Smith joining us remotely. Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Friday afternoon, Julio Rodriguez is back. Julio, got to talk to Sam Haggerty.
Yeah, yeah.
Excited.
We've got him on the line. I mean, I feel like we talked to him down there at Edgar's. He was nice enough to come out and talk to us, which was great. And ever since that day, my girlfriend has not stopped talking about him. So she's going to be very excited that he's now on the phone with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is Sam Haggerty. Sam, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. I hear about you every day, whether you're playing or not, from my girlfriend there. So how are you dealing with the attention that's coming your way? I mean, you're being talked about a lot. I would imagine the interview requests are more frequent than maybe they have been in the past. I mean, you've been on a tear, and I would imagine the attention comes with it. How's that been for you?
It's been a fun ride. The fans have been great. You know, all the media has been great. But at the end of the day, you know, you just got to keep your feet planted on the ground and keep cherishing each day and take it as another opportunity.
Sam, do you feel like your perception obviously changes because now you've just gone through, you know, they made a couple moves, obviously Kyle Lewis and Jared Kelnick going down. You know, some of your competition to stay in that outfield. But do you feel like, you know, with your career and everything you've done and been through, it is important to kind of keep that hunger, right? I mean, because you can lose that and all of a sudden you get too comfortable and then you sort of lose that edge a little bit, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's baseball. It's kind of what have you done for me lately? And every day is an opportunity to make an impact and help your teammates. And at the end of the day, you're just trying to win each and every baseball game you can.
Sam, what do you attribute the role that you're on to? I mean, is it just flat out opportunity? I mean, you were kind of a spot guy, filling in here, filling in there, playing wherever. And now you're getting regular turns. You're in the lineup almost every day. And for the month of August, you're hitting .423. You're 11 of 26, a .464 on base. I mean, you are absolutely on fire. Is it just about opportunity or was there a mechanical shift, a mindset shift?
I'd say it's a combination of a lot of those things. You know, you're getting opportunities to walk up to the plate. You know, I'm getting some pitches to hit and I'm hitting them where they're not standing. You know, baseball is, you know, sometimes there's some luck involved in it. And, you know, I try not to delve too far into it and, you know, just be happy and have fun and, you know, try to win baseball games. I try to keep my personal achievements out of it. And if the team wins, then we've done a good job.
Hey, Sam, I read an article. You talked about how you tweaked your stance. It said you tried to mimic the stance of Chris Taylor. Is this something – did you speak to Chris Taylor about this or you saw it, you know, watching him hit on TV or on a video or something, and you said, hey, I'm going to try this? Like, how'd that all come about?
I was down in AAA to start the season, and I was talking with my hitting coach down there, and it was a real desire to just feel like an athlete in the box. I just wanted to have more rhythm and timing and to kind of remove some of the mechanical thoughts from my head. And so consequently, we kind of resulted on this. Well, let's do a little step back. Let's shuffle our feet a little bit. Let's just remain athletic in the box. And what happens. And, you know, over the last 4 months, this is kind of where it came about.
Hey, as far as being a switch hitter, when did that start? Did you start that really, really young, or is that something that you started implementing later in your career? How did that happen?
I actually started when I was a junior in high school. I was about 16, 17 years old, and I was a small, undersized middle infielder trying to get a college scholarship. And some coaches said, I think it would benefit you to switch hit. So I put my mind to it and tried to teach myself how to hit left-handed.
Hey, were there ever, speaking of that and switch hitting, because, you know, you talk to teenagers now and some of them, the same thing as you, it was a situation they wanted to do something to stand out. But, I mean, you're crushing lefties right now. I think you're hitting, you know, close to .500. I don't know if you know that or not, but you do now. But was there ever that, you know, especially when you go through some struggles, was there ever that, you know, situation where you're like, you know what, maybe I should just focus on one side of the plate because the other side's not right, not all the way there, especially even last year too?
Yeah, I mean, there's some of that doubt ever creeps in my head, you kind of push it out as quickly as possible. Because I would say when you invest your time and energy into switch hitting, it needs to be something that you're committed to through the highs and through the lows. So, you know, as bad as it ever gets on one side, you have to stay committed. You have to stay invested in yourself and believe that your ability to hit from both sides of the plate. So you try to remove those thoughts and those sort of, you know, scary moments, and, you know, kind of the grass is always greener on the other side. You don't want to go too far down that path.
You know, Sam, I've talked to a couple of guys who are switch hitters over the years, and some of them, you know, just talking to them about their approach and even the equipment. And some guys would use the same bat. Some guys would use a different weight, whether they were batting right-handed or left-handed. You use the same bat?
You know, I kind of fluctuate based on the way my body's feeling, you know, whether I'm feeling strong or weak or the velocity, you know, and I'll kind of feel it out and just trust my body to be athletic and find the barrel. But I have heard different approaches, different bats, you know, things of that nature. But I try to stay away from getting too analytical with the whole thing and just try to be an athlete in the box.
Sam, I've been wanting to ask you this because I get asked this all the time from people away from T-Mobile Park. But number zero, man, it's kind of eye-catching. For some reason, and you're starting to, you know, create some waves, people are starting to know who you are here in Seattle. Everyone asks me, hey, why number zero? So you got to tell us, man, why number zero?
Well, my middle name is Onofrio, and it's my grandpa's name. And I chose the number zero to reflect the O in his name. And I wear the jersey for him.
Nice.
Now, Sam, we asked you about this before when you joined us at Edgar's Cantina. But for the fans that may not have heard it, I thought the response was great. But we were asking about the walk-up song, and I know you've been asked a million times about the Godfather theme. But what was funny about it is what your mom referred to those movies as.
Yes, you know, so that's Onofrio, who I chose the jersey for, is her dad, and he's Onofrio Alfano, and she used to tell me that those are home movies. Watch these.
The Godfather are home movies. That is an awesome line by your mom.
Yeah, she's a fantastic woman.
Hey, Sam, speaking of this team, obviously, you know, last year you guys were, you know, in the race towards the end, but there has to be, in this situation you're in now, where all of a sudden it's gotten away from, and not that you've been here since 2018, you came over a little bit later, but since 2018, you know, from the fans' point of view, from our point of view, it was this whole rebuilding phase where young guys would come up and you'd get excited about young guys, but there wasn't this excitement about winning games. There has to be a different feel in that clubhouse with this team day in and day out. Even when you guys are in situations where you lose games that you should have won, or there must be such a different vibe right now this year because you guys are right in the thick of it compared to last year.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I feel like this team, when we show up to the ballpark, we feel like we can beat any team and any pitcher. When we're in the game, whether we're losing or we're up, we feel confident in our pitching, our hitting, our bullpen. It's, you know, there's just a lot of good vibes, as Gino likes to say. And, you know, believing you can win is half the battle to winning.
Hey, Sam, how comfortable is the outfield for you? You talked about being a middle infielder, and that's been, you know, your position. But you look at your career numbers at the big leagues, you've played more games in left field, followed by right field, and then single digits at the infield spot.
Trying to stay in the big leagues and to the point where you're at now. Did you feel like you had to change your game at all? Were you ever worried, like, thinking, man, you know, like, the speed is my biggest factor here. I have to start changing or start hitting for more power or any of those situations?
I say you don't want to change too much of who you are as a player, but, you know, I wouldn't sit here and tell you that I thought I could run my way to stay in the big leagues. I knew that you have to hit, the ball hard. You got to hit it on line drives. And so I was relentless in my pursuit to figure out how to hit. And, you know, still today, we'll always be working on getting better at the plate. But you definitely, like, I pick my moments to steal bases and to try to impact the game, going first to third or scoring from first on a double and those little things. You know, I try to remain very, very skilled in that department. But being an all-around baseball player is something that I've strived for a long time.
Sam, did you ever have any doubts? I mean, you didn't get a ton of opportunity in New York, and then, you know, Seattle, you look at 2020, you played in 13 games, and then last year, 35 games. So you weren't getting a ton of run at the big league level. Was there ever a moment where you questioned whether it was going to happen?
You know, there's probably moments in my life where you question and you doubt a little bit, but that's the beauty of baseball and fighting for and, you know, trying to succeed in anything. You know, there's always a bit of adversity and challenges, and those that don't give up typically will overcome and persevere.
Sam, who are you hanging out with on the road, man? Who are the guys you're going out for dinner with or hanging out outside of away from the ballpark?
Man, there's a lot of good guys on this team. You know, Frazier's been a great guy. JP's great. You know, Winker's great. Everybody's really fun and different environments and different people. And, you know, we all get along great. And there's no one person. It's been a fun team.
Who's the guy that makes you laugh the hardest?
Man, probably Gino. There's just something about his energy. He is a blast. One of the funnest guys I've ever played with.
Is he one of those guys, even though he goes 0-for-20, he'd still be the same way in the clubhouse?
Absolutely. Smiling, laughing. I mean, he's been around for a long time, and he understands there's a game tomorrow and there's no time to dwell on tonight.
I got to imagine that helped. I mean, we saw, you know, you cut your forehead there after you were not so happy with an at-bat that you had. And is that a moment that you kind of look at him and go, you know, that's probably the better way to handle it, the way he's kind of just even keeled versus, you know, throwing a helmet or a bat or whatever bounced up and hit you?
Yeah, that's not one of my better moments as a baseball player. Mates were great. They, you know, they pat me on the back and said, "Hey, it happens. Don't worry about it. Let it go." And like you said, Gino, somebody that to look at and be like, why did I get to that point? Why did I let my anger rise up? And, you know, we're always learning. We're always learning.
Was that a helmet or a bat?
It was a bat.
It was a bat. Okay.
Is that something, and obviously the players, you know, can sort of give you a bit of a ribbing for that too, but from a coaching standpoint, is that something they're going to laugh at? You know, obviously not laugh at, it was a serious situation. We saw the next day, obviously, but is that something that you had a relationship with the coaches or even Scott Service as a manager where they can kind of laugh that off or you have that relationship where you can make fun of that days after the incident happens?
I don't think you can do anything but make fun of it. Out to be okay. I got some stitches and, you know, everything's good. And at that point, all you can do is laugh and chuckle and say how stupid I am and, you know, how, you know, it's like I said, it's not one of my best moments and it's best to just use some humor to get over it and move on.
Hey, Sam, you know, it's funny. We look at these seasons and go, man, 162 games. It seems like it takes forever. It's a marathon. And now it feels like, man, there aren't very many games left. I mean, you guys are, what, under 50 games, I think, left to go here. Do you guys, at this point, or even just you individually, kind of keep an eye on what the teams around you in that wild card chase are doing each night?
You know, I really don't. I'm not sure many of the guys in the clubhouse do. I feel like we know if we take care of business each and every night, we are going to end up where we want to end up.
You feel like going into Texas, you just, you know, went 2-of-3 against the Yankees. Is there ever that feeling you roll into Texas and that feeling like, oh, man, we have to, because of the spot where you guys are at, I know you guys don't look up each and every day, but you look at this and go, man, we have to dominate here. Is there ever that pressure of, you know, we have to take care of these teams that are struggling? Or is that just straight, you guys are out there during batting practice chatting away and not even thinking about who you're playing against when it comes to that stuff?
I would lean towards the latter. It doesn't matter who we're playing, who's on the mound. We're going to play Mariners baseball. We are going to do what we do, and we will line up against anybody and let the chips fall where they may.
Is there one team, before we let you go, is there one team you enjoy beating more than any other team? You know, like the Astros, perhaps, somebody like that that's really hateable. You know, the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros are a great team. You know, it's always fun to beat the good teams and beat those guys on top and, you know, beat the big names. But winning in the big leagues is hard, period. So that feeling is just never underestimated.
Well, Sam, it's been a lot of fun to watch you out there, man. And I know the fans are just absolutely excited about where this team is and where you are and watching you out there each and every night. So congrats on how things have been going for you. We obviously hope it continues and wish you nothing but the best. Always fun to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on.
There you go. There's Sam Haggerty of your Seattle Mariners. And Yeah, it's Ryan. He's a guy that I feel like maybe I underestimated. I'm not. At what point do you stop saying, well, it's kind of early? It's, you know, because he's at 96 at bats so far. It's the most he's had in any big league season. But, you know, earlier in the season, I was kind of like, well, you know, he's a good utility guy, got great speed. He play infield, outfield. Yeah. He's a switch hitter. He's got all these attributes. But I would always follow it with, I don't know if he's an everyday player, but he's a great piece to have on the team. And now you see him in the lineup almost every day going, well, maybe he is an everyday player. How do you view him?
Yeah, I think you go through a couple different phases. And it was so good to talk to him because I'm a huge fan, by the way. To me, he is a baseball player. You know, he's a guy who grinds, and he's been through some tough situations in his career, and now all of a sudden, you know, there's a logjam in the outfield, and here he is. He's the guy who's left standing when you see some of these moves being made. But I think with him, I think you go through these phases. Guys come up, and they either have success or they struggle right away, and then all of a sudden, they make an adjustment. And then they start hitting a little bit. We saw that with Cal Raleigh. And then the next phase after that is, okay, this guy's starting to hit. This guy's a bit of a threat in the lineup. The scouting report starts to get a little thicker on him. So all of a sudden, guys start pitching him a certain way because they're watching more video of him because they have to because, you know, all of a sudden he's either hitting in the middle of the lineup or he's making waves against your team. So I think once that happens and they can sustain and they're not getting overmatched, I haven't seen that from Sam Haggerty. There hasn't been those – there's been a couple swings, don't get me wrong. But there hasn't been those at-bats where he just looks overmatched or all of a sudden someone comes in from the bullpen and just blows his doors off. You just haven't quite seen that this year. There's something definitely different. I think he maybe is a little bit more comfortable. He's not looking over his shoulder. You know, his perception's a little bit different of where he is as a baseball player. He feels a little bit more established. So you can go in and just have a better routine as opposed to, man, how many more days do I have left in a Mariners uniform?
playing with paranoia. I mean, that's got to be you know, something that absolutely can get in the way. But I'm wondering, and you kind of touched on it indirectly, but I'm just wondering if just him being older, he's not a kid. Right. In life, he's a young man. He's 28 years old. But in baseball, he's not that kid. He's not that young guy, let him get his feet wet type of thing. He's 28 years old. So I wonder how much that has helped, you know, just in versus somebody like Kelnick, who's 22, trying to find his way through this.
Yeah, you make a really good point on that because away from the field, you spend a lot of time away from the field, away from in the batter's box. And, you know, sometimes it's just time to grow up. Sometimes it's time to stare at life in, you know, directly in the face and say, all right, who am I? And that obviously transcends into what you do as a baseball player too. The fact that he is a little bit older, like you said, he's not a kid. He's not someone who's, you know, sort of waffling up and down on options and, you know, trying to figure it out. He's way past that stage. And so all of a sudden he sees an opportunity and he's made the most of it. And now he's sticking around. It's great. I mean, it's a great story. I love watching guys like this. You just want a situation. That's kind of why I asked him, like, you know, does your perception change? Because you don't want guys like that getting too comfortable where all of a sudden they roll in the off season. You know what? Speed's not really my game anymore. I'm starting to hit with more power. So yeah. I'm taking a day off from the track or whatever. No, stay hungry, man. And I think he is doing that.
Yeah, you don't want to abandon what got him here.
Absolutely.
I love his game. I just love that he's a guy you feel like you can put just about anywhere and feel good about it. He plays a very good outfield. He's obviously a natural infielder, switch hitter. And he's got speed. So he kind of brings a little bit of everything to the table. Do you, quickly, before we move on, do you think he could be an everyday player? Do you feel like, we need to see more of him out there?
Well, and this is something hopefully we can dive into a little bit with some of these moves with Kelnick and Kyle Lewis. You look at this and say, okay, how deep do you want this roster to be? When you're looking at the can he be an everyday player? Sure. I think he can be an everyday player. Sure, he can be an everyday player in the major leagues. On this roster, where this team's at and where they're heading, and when you see Julio Rodriguez and Mitch Haniger push guys to the side in that lineup, maybe he's more of a role player on that kind of a lineup. But if it's a team where, and not that anyone ever wants to get to this, if you are a middle-of-the-road team in the major leagues, even if you're the Texas Rangers, sure, he can play every day. But I think with what's going on now with this roster, and it's a great thing, man, you have to earn that playing time. So I think with that being said, as of right now, could he contribute every day? I'm sure he could, but I love the fact that he's getting pushed aside by some of these big dogs coming back.
Yeah, yeah, really, really fun to watch him play. All right, coming up at 3:45, we do have mean texts, so get ready for that. But we do have a new text number, so I want to make sure everybody's up to speed on that. Obviously, Seattle Sports is a new name. We got a new number. You can text or call. We're not taking calls today, but you can text 866-979-3776. Again, that number is 866-979-3776. That's what you call or text to. That's the Mac and Jack's text line. So make sure you put that in your phone or whatever you're using to text into us. And we'll do mean text coming up. And if you missed anything from our conversation with Sam Haggerty, that will be available on the podcast page after the show, seattlesports.com. Let's take two.
Well, MLB held its second Field of Dreams game last night. Cubs beat the Reds 4-2, but I think the best moment took place before the game when Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. walked out of the corn and played catch in the field.
Dude, Ryan, I don't know how you feel about this. It's just the second year of it, but I think everything about it is awesome.
Yeah.
I love the uniforms. I love the presentation. I love that everybody's just in the spirit of it. Obviously, the Griffey thing with his dad was awesome, but I was watching this going, there's not anything I could think of where I'd go, you know, you should do this instead or you should change this. I think they nailed it. I love it.
Yeah, I think they tried to do this a couple years ago during the pandemic, and then it got pushed to 21, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe that's not right. But I think when I initially saw the whole Field of Dreams thing, I'm like, okay, are we rehashing a movie from back in the day? Are we forcing something new on here that everyone's just kind of like, yeah, that's great, thanks, and let's move on. Let's just get back to normal baseball. And then last year I was blown away. The one thing, though, when I started to watch the Griffey playing catch with his dad thing, I'm like, oh man, when you ask baseball players to sort of act or to go through some sort of choreographed routine, it never really goes well unless you're really skilled at it. But I thought it was very genuine, him walking out. He turns around, walks out of the corn, and starts playing catch. His dad even dropped the ball at one point. He kind of laughed it off. I thought that was great, man. That gave me goosebumps. So anytime you do something like that, it is a little choreographed, but it looks genuine and it looks, you know, like it looks real. I love it, man. I thought they nailed it too.
Well, we're scoreboard watching. This is fun. We got this the rest of the way. The wild card race is tight. Mariners are just a half game back at Toronto for the number one spot. They're 1.5 games up on Tampa for the third spot, and a couple of big series begin tonight. The Blue Jays host the Guardians, and the Rays host the Orioles.
Yeah, it's getting crowded around there, Ryan. You know, looking at all these teams, and you know, the White Sox, even the Red Sox, who look like they're, you know, they don't look like it's their season. They're only 5 games out. At least they were yesterday. I didn't check today, but that's easily within striking distance if they win a couple and a couple teams in front of them lose. I mean, we can see spots shift quickly overnight, so there's a lot of traffic there. I'm just curious from your perspective, is it going to take more than the 90 wins the Mariners had last year in order for them to find a spot in the postseason?
I think it is. I think when you look at this, first of all, you've got the Blue Jays, Tampa Bay, and then Baltimore sticking around. They're all AL East teams. You can look at that and say, oh, they're going to beat each other up. But do not sleep. Right below that, the Minnesota Twins are going to be right there. And the Chicago White Sox, with all the carry-on from early on in this year with, you know, the injuries and the everything else they've been going through, they are too talented not to be in there. They're at 56 wins, which is only just a couple behind the Seattle Mariners. They will show up towards the end. It is going to be really crowded. It's going to come down to those last days. So, yeah, I think it's going to take more than 90 wins.
Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, perfect day to have Ryan here. There's so much I want to ask you about with this Mariner team and a couple of big moves. Mariners sent down both Kyle Lewis and Jared Kelnick this week, so we'll get into what that means for their futures. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. Ryan Roland Smith in today. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
It is Wyman and Bob with Ryan Roland Smith in for Dave Wyman today. Seattle Sports Station on 710. We'll take you up till 4 o'clock. We'll turn you over to the pregame show for the Mariners game, one of their 3-game series with the Texas Rangers. And I'll keep reminding people, because we do have a new text number. We got mean text coming up, but the text number has changed. It is now 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So we got mean text coming up at 3:45 today, and I'll just give you a little preview. Adam Ray did a very, very special one. He did
an audio version.
A very unique one, right? thumb.
It was good.
It was good.
It was great.
A lot of
good.
Effort into it.
Yeah, we'll be out at his show Saturday night. You're gonna be out there, Ryan.
I will be, and I hear that Mike Lefkoe is gonna be out there too.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna paint him as a giant bullseye and put him right in front of the stage there, and just let Adam take shots throughout the entire night. But no, Saturday night we'll all be out there. It'll be a fun night. So yeah, Adam Ray out there at Laughs. Check it out. But we'll play his latest entry into Mean Text, which was it's a unique one for him. He's a regular participant. But hey, let's get into what's going on with this. Oh, one more note here. I definitely have to let people know. With the Seahawks taking on the Steelers in their preseason opener tomorrow, that's on 710. The Mariners Rangers game in its entirety will be heard on 770 KTTH. So just keep that in mind if you're listening on the radio tomorrow. You got the Seahawks preseason game here on 710. The Mariners Rangers matchup on 770 KTTH. Mariners pregame coverage starts at 3. First pitch at 4:15 again on 770 AM. All right. Ryan, these moves weren't surprising to me at all. We'd been speculating, hey, when everybody's getting healthy, they're going to have to make roster moves. Who's going to go down? And the first name out of my mouth was Jared Kelnick, followed by Kyle Lewis. I just thought that was going to be the move. Those were going to be two of the moves. And then we knew when they signed Casale, when they traded for him from the Giants, and Luis Torrens had no more options. You kind of saw the writing on the wall there. Any surprise to you with these moves at all?
Not today, not this last week. I think if you go back and you know, you and I were sitting there having a conversation and said, oh, hey, by the way, in the midst of 2022, this team's going to be good, but Jared Kelnick and Kyle Lewis are going to be out of the mix. You'd be like, whoa, it would be a shocker. Because obviously Kyle Lewis, rookie of the year, you think of him as being on the up and up, and obviously Jared Kelnick, the way we brought him to the big leagues last year from a media standpoint, from a team standpoint, fan standpoint, everything, he was going to set the world on fire. So I think when you look at the team right now, and this is where you want to be, right? This is the situation you want to be in. You want to be in a place where your team is that deep with talent that, guys, if you are not performing, regardless of whatever status or plan or, you know, whatever it may be, this team, the way they view you or the way they've talked about you 2 weeks ago or a year ago, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you are not performing, this is the way it goes. So I think, and look, we can talk about this all day long, but I think for both those guys, it's a good thing for them. As hard as it is, and it is a tough pill to swallow, it is not an easy transition. They don't go down to AAA and be like, oh, you know what, there's just a bit of a log jam here, and I'm just not seeing the ball that well, so get some reps in. No. It's a tough week for them right now, that is for sure.
Well, and I do appreciate that Kelnick immediately jumped into the lineup.
Yes.
He could have taken some time, taken a day. The day he got sent down, he was in the Rangers lineup that night. So that I appreciate that approach to it. Obviously, I'm certain he's not happy about it, but I can't imagine he's too surprised either. But here's Jerry DePoto was talking about both these moves, and here he is just talking about what he saw from Kelnick in his return.
A much calmer version of Jared than I think we've ever seen. You know, he's had the big moment in New York, and there hasn't been a bevy of hits flying around. But Jared's he's carrying himself in a much more reserved way than we've seen in the past, and it's been a unique season for him. He's learning things, and he is experiencing things that he's never experienced before.
Now, Ryan, I'm watching him going, okay, I see a different stance. That looks different. And I kept hearing about his approach, that he's thinking more up the middle, going the other way with that outside pitch, not trying to yank everything. I didn't really see that. That his approach to me, the stance different, the approach not so much. Did you see anything that stood out to you?
No, I agree with you. And you hear, Jerry DePoto talk about how he's much more reserved. Yeah, he's much more reserved because, to me, he looked like a deer in headlights. And then all of a sudden he gets up to hit, and it's the same approach. I think that, and look, this goes back to what you and I talked about a lot, coming out of spring training. You want a situation where these guys have to earn playing time, mm-hmm. and it's a good thing. But for Jared Kelnick, I think in the situation – and look, I still believe he is going to be a good major league player. I really do. But when he came back up, he was essentially on the back burner. You mentioned too, we kind of jumped over because Jerry DePoto, we listened to that cut. But the fact he goes right back to AAA that day, I love that. But you think about the mindset from him. a couple, you know, what it was a couple months ago when he got sent down, he took his 3 days off and, you know, I'm on my time. Now, all of a sudden, he's on the organization's time. Well, in other words, I'm talking about he, and again, this goes back. We talked to Sam Haggerty about this. The perception he has is his role with this organization now is, okay, I really have to hit my way to the major leagues. I'm one of those guys now. I am not a priority in a situation where I just have to go out and be Jared Kelnick and everyone's excited. And when the time's right, I'm going up. It's completely different now. And that tells you a lot when he goes first day. If he had taken three more days off, I'd be like, dude, come on, let's go. But I love seeing that. But there is now all of a sudden a sense of urgency that he has to, you know, right out the gates, put up some numbers, you know, to prove that he can be an asset for sure.
One more from Jerry, and this is on Kyle Lewis being sent down, and his situation is different in that he's just a guy dealing with a knee injury that is preventing him from being in the lineup every night. He looks like he doesn't have his timing or his rhythm up there yet. He can't really do much about it by giving him more turns because physically he just doesn't look like he's capable or able to do that right now. And here's Jerry talking about why they sent Kyle down.
You know, I think you're just seeing a lack of playing time, a lack of at-bats. Kyle's incredibly talented. Obviously, his career in general, and particularly this year, has been starts and stops. But, you know, he'd been in a particularly deep funk with the bat. And we just feel like it's best, especially at his age, with the level of experience that he has, to go back, to play regularly, to get his ABs, and hopefully get his bat going. Because we really do see impact in his bat potential. And we've seen it play out on a major league field. And that can be a huge help to us.
We're coming up against the break, Ryan. But are you optimistic about his future? And I'm just talking physically. You know he's got the talent, but I just don't know. The knee thing is just an odd thing to me. And they said, oh, it's a meniscus. This is not meniscus. That does not last like this. And you don't baby it the way that they're, day or two in the lineup, 2 days out of the lineup, day or two in the lineup. So how are you seeing him moving forward?
Yeah, well, physically, just watching him run up the line, it was a real concern. I'm watching going, there's no way he is 100%. I know Jerry DiPoto sort of echoed that as well. But you look at this, you want a young player like that. We saw this with Mitch Haniger. You want to come back to the big leagues when you can play outfield every single day and you are at 100% athleticism. Kyle Lewis is not there, and it does concern me a little bit. Mentally, I think these things with him, a couple of years ago, I'll be real quick. I know we're coming up to a break here, but a couple of years ago, remember he had massive knee surgery coming out of it. He was kind of forgotten about. They had all these prospects come over from, you know, obviously Kelnick and all these other prospects and pitching and et cetera. And everyone was excited about that, those guys. It made Kyle Lewis a little hungrier, I think, to prove himself. Then all of a sudden he wins Rookie of the Year. Now he's in a situation where, you know, the perception's changed a little bit where he could take his time or he's sort of on his time. Now, all of a sudden, he's on that organization's time. So this might be a good thing mentally for him to get that hunger back. But physically, I am concerned for sure. I don't know what's going on. I've had a meniscus tear. I've had it surgically repaired. And it just seems bizarre to me that it's still lingering.
Yeah, definitely worth keeping an eye on, to say the least. Coming up, by the way, it is the first Blue Friday in this Seahawks preseason, and Seattle Sports has your chance to win 4 tickets to the preseason game on August 18th when the Seahawks host the Bears at Lumen Field. You have until 4 p.m. today to enter, so head to seattlesports.com/win. Right now, that's where you enter. Coming up, Ryan gets to participate in the life-changing experience that is What's Bugging Bob for the very first time. That is coming up next. It's Wyman and Bob with Ryan Roland Smith in today. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.
What's Bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's Bugging Bob.
Are you ready, Ryan?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I've listened to this, by the way, driving around, having a good laugh. So I'm ready.
Driving around, having a good laugh. Yeah.
I hope it's not me. I hope I'm not the thing bugging you.
You're one of my favorite people ever. You couldn't possibly bug me.
All right, good.
But who's not one of my favorite people ever, and he's quickly entered into the most punchable faces in all of professional sports, Josh Donaldson.
Oh.
How about that guy? His teammates don't even like him. He doesn't. He's not liked by the guys around him that play against him. And it became very obvious in that game against the Yankees when he got plunked in the 10th inning again, what right. bothers me in these situations, Ryan, is Mike Trout, who I like a lot. I'm not even mad at Mike anymore. I'm just disappointed. Dave and I talked about that. Just like, no, you weren't that guy, were you? Come right. on, man. That they don't seem to understand the situation. They somehow just immediately go to, oh, this guy did it on purpose, or there was intent behind this, and not looking at the fact that in Trout's situation, it was the bottom of the ninth. The Mariners had the lead with the tying run at the plate and two outs, and somehow he thought that's the time they're going to send a message by plunking him. I mean, it was mindless. And the same thing with Donaldson, where he just sat there and posed for a minute and then stared him down, walking to first base. I'm going, it's the 10th inning, you meatball. What do you think he's trying to – you really think he's trying to put you on base in a game that's 0-0? It was just – Those moments, the tough guy moments, the phony tough guy moments like that, and especially somebody like him, who you just look at his face, you know his reputation, and you go, yep, you are living down to your reputation right there. And I saw on Twitter, like, Yankee fans going, oh, yeah, there he is. Donaldson would kick every Mariner butt by himself and blah, blah. I'm like, oh, stop it. Stop it with the phony tough guy stuff.
Well, you know, Bob, you can appreciate this because, you know, you have – bit of an MMA background, and you appreciate the sport and everything else. But he did make a comment. I don't know if you realize, if you know this, and you can look this up. He did say if he wasn't a baseball player, he'd be fighting in the UFC. And that right there, I mean, you don't even have to be a teammate of his to just absolutely want to throw your computer screen, if you look that up on YouTube, across the room. Because it's like, dude, like, I think in that situation too, you mentioned the 10th inning, he's that guy. And I do have a little background, ex-teammate thoughts on him. But he is that guy that if someone else is getting thrown at, he somehow wants to be thrown at too, so he can, you know, raise his voice or you know, whatever it may be. Even though deep down, I think he probably understands that's not the time to get thrown at, but he wants to let everyone know that, like you said, that quasi-tough guy, umpire standing in front of me, I can say whatever I want. Position. So I did ask, I've asked this a few times, Grant Balfour, a good buddy of mine, and I'm really close with, and he played with Josh Johnson for a couple of years with the A's. I said, dude, give me the rundown, man. What do you got? You know, give me something. And he said, listen, man, he said, and I said, because here's the thing, Grant, it takes a lot for him not to like anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this is what he said. Now, mind you, you know, he's not going to throw anyone under the bus. But he said, you know, he's a good teammate because he gets fiery and stuff like that. But there is a lot of eye-rolling moments and a lot of cringe moments that can drive you nuts. And that for Grant to say that about someone says a lot right there.
Well, and we heard that with – or what we didn't hear, I thought, was deafening from his teammates when he got into that thing with shortstop.
Tim Anderson.
Yes, Tim Anderson. Thank you. Yep. With the whole Jackie Robinson comment, and none of his teammates had his back. And he even said publicly, like, yeah, I was a little surprised and disappointed by that. I'm like, yeah, it's because they don't like you. They don't like you. Neither does anybody else in baseball for good reason.
Now, if that – and now a situation where if you are on a team and your PR director said, look, no one comment on this, all right, maybe so. But if, let's say, I'm just trying to think of a really, really good teammate who was in that situation, teammates I've had, you would still have a handful of guys, at least two or three, regardless of what steps you're supposed to take from a PR standpoint, at least stand up and make some comments on your behalf. Even if they don't directly point to that situation directly, they just say, look, love the guy, great teammate, blah, 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 if they skate around the issue. But none of that happens. So it tells you a lot right there, too.
Yeah, it just, I'm watching, I'm going, dude, pay attention to the situation. I get, I'm somebody, if I get hurt, like, you know, you bang your knee on something, your elbow, something really hurts, I get mad in the moment. But I'm not, you know, so I understand that moment of, oh, son of a bleep, a bleepity bleep, you know, like that hurt. But the way he's like glaring at the pitcher like there was intent and walking down real slow, I'm just like, oh, save it, tough guy.
Drives you nuts. Absolutely.
Yo, yeah, just I saw that and was just like, ugh, God, now I get it. I get why his teammates didn't have his back. All right. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. A reminder, we do have Mean Text coming up at 3:45 because we're going to turn you over to the Mariners pregame show at 4 o'clock. So don't forget, new text number. Write it down. Put it in your phone, whatever you need to do. But the number is 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776. couple people have been sending in test and yo and things like that. So just to make sure we're here, we are here, we're seeing, I'm trying to respond to those as well. But we'll do mean text coming up at 3:45. Meanwhile, Mariners are going to do something tonight they haven't done since April 29th. We'll talk about that next. It's Wyman and Bob with Ryan Roland-Smith in Seattle Sports Station on 710.